Ah, the many colors of the blues. And you can hear them on WHFR's latest blues compilation, Uncut Detroit 3, Live Studio Blues, featuring local artists Bugs Beto, Thornetta Davis, Eileen Orr, Kenny Parker, Robert Penn, Harmonica Shaw, and Joe Weaver. This CD has received great reviews, and we know that you will love it too. Support independent radio and order your copy of Uncut Detroit 3 Live Studio Blues for only $12. Go to our website at whfr.fm or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Bon Rose Fine, and she is a professional astrologer, writer, speaker, and consultant. Good afternoon, Bon. How are you?
Oh, I'm much better. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
How have you been?
Very good.
Great to see you again.
Yes, very good to see you. We met, it was about a month ago, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. It was, and it was quite synchronistic,
yes.
And I was just delighted.
And we'll probably get into that.
We could.
Now, you say you're feeling better. In what regard?
I wasn't feeling well earlier. We were talking about that mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, and I just wasn't feeling well for a while, and now I'm starting to feel better.
Yes.
And being around you is pleasant.
Okay, yeah. So. Well, that's good to know. It's great. Now, obviously, we're going to start at the beginning. How did you become interested in astrology?
I had a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
2 days before I turned 40, I was given the surprise diagnosis, although I wasn't surprised once I figured out what they were testing me for, but I was told that I had multiple sclerosis, which mm-hmm. is MS, and when I started learning that it's incurable and how it's unpredictable, it certainly caught me by surprise, and I had known for many years, probably 20 years, that something wasn't quite right. I would be up and down and go see doctors. And so in a way, getting the diagnosis came as a relief because, I'm not crazy. There is something wrong. And that sort of started me on, a journey, a quest. And I had I was asking questions like, why me? Why this? Why now? And again, I thought at the prime of my life, I had all these plans, and I thought that this is going to change things for me, and it did, but in a positive way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked a friend, what should I do? And I was just, again, puzzled about things, and she recommended that I have a consultation with her roommate, who happened to be an astrologer. And I thought well of my friend. I thought she was a fairly grounded woman. And so I thought, all right, I'm open to this. And it was a very disclosing and revealing kind of reading. There were some things that I didn't quite appreciate or understand at the time. And some things that I think she was using not just astrology, because this woman considered herself a psychic astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pause for a moment and say that I think that it's helpful when an astrologer is using something other than what they see in a chart to say so. If they're just getting an instinct about something, or if they're just thinking common sense, that it's generally considered good form to differentiate. But she picked up some things in the chart that I realized had never been explained to me in such a way. And so, but I was a little skeptical afterwards. So several months later, I consulted with a different astrologer. Oh, because part of me was thinking, oh, well, she knew that because my friend told her.
Mm-hmm.
So several months later, I consulted with a different astrologer who told me many of the same things, only in a different way. And then I became intrigued. And I contacted a third astrologer who did not just readings, but sort of a reading that was almost like an introduction to astrology.
Mm-hmm. So that all resonated with you? I mean, the actual whatever they found in your chart that really resonated with you, and you thought that was correct?
I found a great deal, yes, mm-hmm. that I identified with. What I like is that it validated a lot of things that I felt about myself, that these women who really didn't know me, these particular astrologers, it was things that I knew about myself, but didn't realize could be symbolically represented based on where and when I was born. Mm-hmm. And so that was, it was exciting. And it was exciting to me to realize that, wait, this can be learned. And so I started off this third astrologer that I spoke to, and I never ended up having a lesson or a reading from him. His things just happened in our lives that made it not possible. But he gave me some excellent suggestions on books to read, and so I was off and running and studying. And so I came to astrology really late, my study late compared to many of my peers who at that point had been studying since their college days. But my life circumstances allowed me to essentially study full time for 4 or 5 years. I had a toddler, and I didn't want to be hovering over him too much, but I needed to be present. So it was always great. I always had a book with me while he was playing or doing things. And so I could be there for him, but yet let him have his space. So it gave me a lot of opportunity to study, and I found classes in my area. They were also in Lansing. There was an astrology school, and then I discovered that there were various conferences, private, public, or I should say privately run conferences, and ones that were run by astrological organizations. And they would have seminars at those conferences, and so I was able to just learn. And the nice thing, the more I learned, the more I realized that I'll never know it all. And actually, that pleased me. As mm-hmm. as a Sagittarian, I'm always wanting to reach for more and more.
Right. So you were like a sponge. You were just absorbing all this knowledge and information, and mm-hmm. you just felt that this really spoke to you?
Yes. It was just it was exciting to see it. And what I like about it is astrology basically is a language of symbols. And I love language. I love the ways that people can express it. I love analogy and symbolism and metaphors. And that's astrology is rich in those components. So I just, as I say, just kept after it. And now here it is. I really only 18 years later, I have to do the math on it, mm-hmm. but about 18, pushing 20 years later, and I'm still intrigued mm-hmm. by it.
Well, again, you say that you keep growing and there's always new information to learn, so again, that can be very exciting, correct?
And what's exciting is I've now finally got to the point where I was able to professionalize and see clients, and I felt it was nice to be helpful to people. I cannot consider myself a counselor, because in the state of Michigan, you really have to have certification and a certain degrees to be that. But a consultant, in that I can read and interpret these symbols for someone, that's valid. And I'm very careful not to cross the line when I'm working with a client. One thing that's helped me and gave me confidence is I did work at a crisis center back in the days, and
yes,
as you said, the hippie
yes.
days, at a student council. We were like crisis intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had training in empathy and active listening, so that I felt pretty confident that if I was working with a client and consulting for them, and that it was clear that, and there I've had a couple of instances of this happening, where it's clear that there's something deeper going on, that I know how to refer them,
mm-hmm.
and I know how to kind of, I guess, hone in on that. But it's not my place to, I am not doing this for therapy, because again, you need special training to do that. It would be wrong for me to represent mm-hmm. myself in that way. And in fact, ethics have become a big part of a lot of people who do astrology professionally are involved with an organization and subscribe to codes of ethics. That's a big, and yet, as you know, with anything, there's not a consistent agreement on, well, what's right and what isn't. There, by and large, though, we go, just as physicians believe that we should do no harm, astrologers feel that way too. I know that I'm not interested in frightening people when I do a reading. I try to be very constructive. In fact, when you and I were talking at one point, I think I mentioned something in your chart, which is an interesting example.
Okay, yes.
We can talk about later. But okay. You asked me if something was good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hesitate to say that, because is something positive and constructive or self-defeating?
Mm-hmm. So it is what it is, basically, though, right?
It is, but there's ways, if you can understand it, there's ways to use, you know, the knowledge of energy talents that you have, because the chart represents all the possibilities of who you are and who you can be, and it can be very self-empowering.
And just real briefly, I want to take a break here and mention that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Bon Rose Fine, and she is a professional astrologer, writer, speaker, and consultant. Now, something I wanted to touch on, too. Did you find that astrology helped you accept your MS a little bit better? You understood some reasons why things were happening?
It did. And over many times I've looked at that, and I've had others who are more expert in the field of medical astrology. That's not my expertise at all. But who have looked at my chart and have seen components in it, in my chart, that certainly speak to that an illness would be a big part of my personal transformation, a health issue. And a lot of things that gave me comfort in that I was able to see in the chart that I had the capacity to regenerate, to heal. I tell people I take a licking, but I keep on ticking.
Yes, that's very important, very important.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead. I mean, you found that out, and since then, you've accepted it, and you've dealt with it on a better level?
It's a very strange illness. It deals with, if people aren't aware, it's basically the central nervous system is affected and gets mixed up. It starts attacking itself, and so it forms scars or lesions on the myelin sheath that covers your central nervous system. And so multiple means many, sclerosis means scars. And so I have many scars on this sheath. I'm fortunate in many ways that I generally am quite well. But I will have the days where I feel very, very tired and days where I feel just okay.
Mm-hmm.
It has made me look at things that stress me, and I've had to learn how to function despite stress and how to diffuse stress. And so, but that's something that came. It isn't necessarily connected with astrology in that regard. It's just if I found something that helped me sort of get out of my worries. And it gave me comfort to realize here's something that I can do that will keep me interested and engaged for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think that in listening to you, it not only helped you, but it also led you down a path where you can help others as well. So that's a win-win situation for everybody, right?
That's what I wanted. I didn't want to be the poor, pathetic, sick person. I wanted to be of use. And I continued to try. But again, it's also let me recognize when I need to take it easy and take care of myself. I'm sure many people believe that life presents us with a menu of options and lessons, and that's part of our job in this world, is to learn these lessons. And that's, I feel, astrology has been a good guide for that. But there's other things we can use as well. It's not like astrology is the only way or the be-all and end-all. I can't possibly say that.
Have you ever explored other things like numerology or palmistry or anything like that that might help you, or you just didn't really explore anything like that?
As far as to practice it, no. When you get involved in a metaphysical discipline, and there is an argument about astrology, is it really that, or is it simply, because it has kind of a scientific basis in that this is where the planets are astronomically, you know, they are. But no, I mean, I've become interested, but I'll always come back to astrology. I've made friends with people who study other things like the tarot and so on, but I always come back to astrology. That's what I wish to work on. You know, a lot of people ask, how does astrology actually work? And one of the theories is that it's what Carl Jung called synchronicity. He had a whole theory about that there's coincidence, which is meaningful. And the fact that a person is born at a particular time and place, and that all the planets happen to be configured in a certain way at that time, as above, so below, as within, so without. So how a person is said to be reflected in their chart. And yet I shy away from feeling that the chart poses limitations. Rather, it, again, validates and reflects who the person potentially could be and what they can be.
Right. Now, when you make up a chart, you touched upon this earlier, do you use psychic ability, would you say,
in developing somebody's
chart?
Oh, I see. When interpreting
right.
it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I personally, let's say this. If I do use any kind of intuitive ability, and I think I think we're all intuitive to some extent, but I let my imagination help me because I know that the planets are behaviors. The signs that the planets are in describe how a person will act out that behavior, and the houses that the various planets happen to be in, and signs and so on, are the areas where that action or behavior will play out or will show itself. And there's also another component, I should say, that we use aspects. Remember, a chart is 360 degrees around us. And so it's essentially a map of what the sky, as Evangeline Adams, who's an old-time astrologer from 100 years ago, she called it the bowl of heaven. And so it's where these planets are in relation to one another can be opposite, 180 degrees. So we call that an opposition. They can be square or 90 degrees from one another, and we call that a square. And those are said to be challenging aspects when planets are in those positions to each other. There's also something called a trine, where planets can be 120 degrees from one another, and that's easeful. It's like a piece of cake in the way those two planets work with one another. There's another, and that's considered a soft aspect. Another soft aspect is the sextile, which is about, the planets are 60 degrees from one another. And when I use the degrees, you know, that I've just mentioned, it's not like they're spot on. It's that they are within range of that. And that's called the orb. And astrologers, it's humorous sometimes to listen to them bicker about orbs. Oh, that's too loose an orb. That's too tight an orb. It's part of the fun of it, I think. But I haven't mentioned the most important aspects many astrologers believe, and that's called the conjunction. And that's when two planets are very close to one another. Again, depending on which ones, usually within 10 to 8 to 7 degrees. Again, depending on which planets. And I can explain why I'm saying that if you want.
Yes, go ahead.
In astrology, we use generally, there are many ways, understand this, there are many ways and approaches to astrology. There's many components can be used. But by and large, most contemporary Western astrologers who do what we call tropical astrology, we use 8 planets and the sun, which is actually a star, and the moon, which is actually a satellite, as it's our Earth's satellite. And so just to make things easy, we call the sun and the moon planets. Actually, the sun and the moon are considered the lights and therefore are given more weight when you look at a person's chart. And so hence they're oftentimes given a greater orb of influence, they call it. Okay? So that's and then there are personal planets, and the closer the planet is to Earth and the sun, the more personal it will be. Of course, the moon is highly personal, and then we'll have Mercury and Venus, Mars, and as we move out, we get to Jupiter and Saturn, and those are sort of intergenerational planets. And then finally, there are the modern planets, which are very far away and weren't discovered until, Uranus was discovered, and I'm going to say 1781 or 2, in the 1780s, because by then they were starting to develop lenses that were clear enough that they could see it with the naked eye. When we talk about Saturn, that's the planet that could be seen with the naked eye.
Right.
Uranus, they needed to have telescopes. And so they were developing lenses that enabled them to see far, far away. So they saw Uranus in 1846. I didn't know there'd be a test, but it's hard to remember. But in the 1840s.
I mean, you don't have to go into dates, there was, but that's fine.
Because interestingly, when these outer planets were discovered, they reflected what they mean, reflected their time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can explain that in a sec. But again, Neptune was discovered in the 1840s. And then more recently, we had Pluto, which was only discovered in 1930.
Right. Now, they say that Pluto is not really a planet. That's the last thing I've heard on that.
Yeah, well.
Do you subscribe to that or not?
That's clever. Okay. That was apparently, from what I read, one astronomical organization decided that, it's just an ice ball.
Yeah.
And the astrologers, we've had too much fun with this. This is kind of like, I hate to say it, like comedians who just love it when something embarrassing happens to a public figure. It's like for astrologers, this was, especially, I consider myself I use humor a great deal with what I do, and I found that just a riot. I was at a conference called the United Astrology Congress, and it was hugely attended, just thousands of astrologers there. And a motion was made, and it was seconded, that is Pluto a planet? And it was unanimous. The astrologers say it's a planet. We've just found that Pluto has an impact in a chart.
Right.
That's all there is to it. It has an impact by transit, which is something else I can explain if we have the time.
But, right. Well, we'll probably get to that. Right. But real briefly, I want to ask also, Do the other moons of the different planets, do they play a part or not? Just our moon?
I personally will only work with our moon, but there's astrologers are always reaching out and questing, and there's an interest in examining the possibility of using the moons of other planets. Understand, a lot of people who are interested in astrology are also interested in astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
So, that really gets into very highly detailed stuff and a specialty that's not mine. But at this point, I'm trying to, because I want to kind of focus just what we're doing here, just to give a easy explanation. And primarily, we try to look at those 10 planets, but we also look at angles of a chart. And for, since your listeners are not viewers, and they can't see, this is
right,
radio,
that's true, yes.
And they can't see, to imagine a clock, and imagine the clock is divided up into 12 sections, and where you would see 9 o'clock on the clock is the ascendant or the rising sign. And many of us have heard of, I have Virgo rising, or mm-hmm. whatever, that they've heard that. That means that Virgo is on the ascendant. The constellation of Virgo was coming up over the horizon at the time of that person's birth. And that's why having exact birth time is really important to astrologers. We can manage and do alternative ways of calculating a chart without having proper birth time, but it's considered very good form to make sure that you're working with good information. Funny enough, the very first two readings I had, the birth time that my mother gave me mm-hmm. was an hour off from what it actually is.
That was for your birth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I've since, because I've learned things that are just too much to get into now, but basically because I was born on the East Coast and have now live here in Michigan, actually, coincidentally, what would be called a relocation chart, and that's a whole different thing, but that chart had the different ascendant. It sort of was, which is possibly why those first two readings seemed accurate. I maintain some healthy skepticism, okay? And so I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. They did those charts with the wrong time. You know, were they accurate? But by the time I had learned what was, I had actually been advised to send away for my actual birth record from the county where I was born. And I found out the time, and my mother had a slightly medicated birth. She sniffed ether, and she disputed. Oh, it was very funny. She kind of disputed. She said, no, it was 11:15. And the doctor had written down 12:17 p.m., so it was like she might have seen the clock blurry, because she said she distinctly right. remembered waking up and looking at the clock. And I said, Mom, you were medicated. It was a medicated birth. She said, no, I just had some ether. And there was no reasoning with her except to say that, gosh, Mom, I'm going to assume that Dr. Shapiro had good reasons for writing down 12:17 p.m., because doctors do tend to be very precise about such things. And that chart has ultimately feels more like my actual natal chart. Despite us having relocated charts, depending on where we have chosen to live, you always go back to the natal chart. But many of the planets and stayed in the same sign. Well, all of the planets stayed in the same signs. The difference was what my ascendant was, and it went from an Aquarius. It really is a Pisces rising, but the two readings, they were based on an Aquarius rising, but they weren't really using the vernacular or the astrology language. And so a lot of the angles remained the same, and a lot of the so much of what was going, what these astrologers were saying to me, still was within reason, okay,
right.
Because they weren't doing heavy, you know, in-depth readings. But in your case, if you'll remember, when you first told me your time, it was, I think you told me 11:30.
Yes, that's what my mother told me.
Well, and then you went and looked at your actual birth certificate, and you found that it was 11:46.
Mm-hmm.
And although it doesn't change what your rising sign is, a Sagittarius rising, which is probably among the many reasons why I feel very comfortable with you, but you can see this number, and that's the degree.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about 360 degrees,
right.
Everything from zero Aries, the first sign,
right.
to, 29 degrees, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds of arc.
Right.
Of Pisces, which is the very last sign, and then it goes over to zero of Aries again. So in your case, we're looking at a matter of just a few degrees, but
right.
there are some types of astrology, and it didn't, that it would make this would be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, your planets stayed in this, they did say in this, in fact, in all cases, they stayed in the same houses and the same signs and are still in the same angles. But this, I personally don't have confidence in that chart, but I have confidence in that one because it was based on
right, the actual
accurate
time.
Birth time.
Right.
Saying all that, I think the birth is a process. And I think sometimes we have to live with imperfection.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Sometimes the clock in the delivery room can be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When a baby is being born, there are more important things than the precise time. More important that the child be born healthy and alive and all that.
Right.
So, and oftentimes doctors will look up at a clock and just kind of round it off. I can say this, my husband's chart is an example. You know, when I first started studying, of course, I did everybody's chart that I knew.
Right.
And compute, and I finally got a computer of my own. And I can cast a chart by hand, but it's very tedious, and I cannot memorize the formulas, or haven't yet been able to. So I would have to get out the book and the list and the go through. But on his birth record, it said 11:25 a.m., and that had him an Aries ascendant or Aries rising, very late degree, and I just thought, you know, that doesn't seem like him. And sure enough, when I did get a computer, I was fiddling around with it. I moved his birth time ahead 7 seconds, and all of a sudden he had a 0 degree Taurus ascendant. And everyone who knows him and has met my husband says, oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
that's a Taurus ascendant or Taurus rising person. It's the rising sign. We should ask, what does it mean? It's kind of, they call it your mask, but it's also the lens through which you see the world. It's also how the world can see you. And so that's why sometimes seconds can make a difference. I learned a process, they call it rectification, and by using events in my husband's life, I was able to kind of wiggle around and actually have a chart of his that I had to move the birth time ahead about 4 minutes. And bottom line, you just want what is a working chart, and so that you can better help the person, but it's a process of discovery. One of the things when doing a consultation, I'm not here to tell a person, well, you should be that way because you have your sun is in Scorpio and Saturn is very close to it, and so you should be very reserved and shy and restricted, and not necessarily. It's the person's It's my responsibility to find out from the person how are they using the energy of those two planets to do their lives.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Bonrose Fine. She is a professional astrologer, writer, speaker, and consultant. Now, when you do a chart, one of the most important ingredients is also where the person was born, correct?
Yes, because you're doing it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It's all about me.
Right, well, yes, many people feel that way, you know, it's all about them sometimes.
Well, a lot of people feel that it's discredited that we're not looking, that astrology, that the Earth isn't the center mm-hmm. of the universe, or our solar system, rather, but that we, the Earth, we joined these other planets in rotating around the sun. We know. The point is, and there is another, there's many different kinds of astrology. There is one that is sun-centered astrology. It's a whole different ball game. Because really, there are many. We don't have time to go into
right.
it.
Right, there's no uniform form.
Yes, that's true. There are, what I need to do is say, respect that there are other components and other ways of looking, of using astrology. But we understand that, but the idea is that this is very person-centered. You are what's in the middle, and it's where everything is seen from your perspective. And that means, that depending on where on Earth you are born, you calculate based on that. Yeah, because if you were born at the same time, but in Hawaii, you would have had a different looking chart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that, as we're talking here, and I'm using a lot of the jargon of astrology, and that's one of the challenges I think a lot of astrologers face, is that once we're working with a client, we want to sort of put the jargon on the back burner and use plain English, because people aren't going to always understand, you know, what you mean. What I do like to do, because most people have studied mythology, and so they understand that Venus is the goddess of love and beauty. And mm-hmm. so I can mention that and ask people, remember your mythology. And so that's, so when we look at where a person's Venus is in their chart, it talks about what attracts them, what they are attracted to. It deals with relationships as well as tangible possessions. So again, love and beauty, aesthetics. Same thing, Mercury, we know, was a messenger god.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mercury does deal with messages, transportation, communication, can also deal with siblings. So there's, for every planet, there are different parts of our life, our personality, our behavior that planet will represent. And it usually it connects to its mythological archetype and just to the experience. How can I say this? It's the, astrology is based on observation, mm-hmm. the science of observation over eons and eons, you know, ever since human beings were able to look up in the sky and see what are all these little dancing lights about, or what are these moving things. I mean, our ancestors had time. They didn't have TV.
Right. No computers, no games, nothing like that.
And so they would notice that, you know, that planet there was there the last time we had a war with our the tribe over there, or that light was there. And so they, again, it was a process of observation and then making correlations to events here on Earth. And so that's, you know, I think how it started, and then it continues. Because for me, it's a continual process of discovery.
Right.
A lot of times, some planets move more quickly than others, and others, you know, again, you just have to look in an astronomy book, and you'll see what the orbits are of the various planets. But that you'll know, well, gosh, the last time Venus went through that part of my chart, because I'm talking now about what we call transits, and that's when we use astrology to forecast events. And that's one, transits are only one way. They're a very popular way. They're my favorite way because I think they speak to events. But understand that when you were born, we take that magic moment and we put it down. We try to, again, remember that it's still a living, breathing,
event?
Symbolic. Well, the event happened, but you continue to happen.
Right. Well, we all do to a certain degree, right? I mean, that's a good thing.
Right. Well, exactly. And so the thing is that that wonderful time that you were born, we kind of hold that, but then we look at the planets that keep moving, and I prepared for you just a couple of charts, and
quite extensive too. Well, I'm very impressed.
Well, this is just, again, for me, I'm very fortunate in that I do have a computer and a program that will, I can put in the accurate information, and it will give me a chart, and I know enough to know that I haven't done, punched in PM when I should have put in AM, because by seeing where the sun is, I can tell that you were born, you know, during the day. So there's, it helps to know, you know, it helps to know more than just how to use a computer. But then the planets kept on moving, and they continue to make, geometrical connections with the planets that you were born with. Some will move more quickly than others, and so those transits will be faster and perhaps a little less significant, but the slower moving planets are the ones that we tend to look at more seriously, as because true change takes time. And so I think that when you're dealing with, well, Saturn is a great example. Saturn does represent restriction, limitation, maturity, discipline. And so when Saturn moves around a person's chart and we look at it by transit and we see it making, oh, again, one of those hard aspects, a square or an opposition to one of your planets in your natal chart, we know that we wonder if you are feeling sort of pinched in that area at that time, or challenged.
Right.
Doesn't, again, I don't like to have astrology limit people's ability. I get very frustrated, actually, with colleagues that I respect a lot. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I can't possibly do that then because I've got Saturn, you know, squaring or opposing my sun. And it's like, what motivates us to change if we're not too comfortable?
Right.
And that's why I feel that a square, for example, like, again, these challenging aspects are important. And that's usually if a person contacts me and they want a consultation, they'll have something going on in their chart that's kind of pinching at them. Rarely do I get calls from people that, oh, everything's just great and I want you to tell me how great it is.
Right. So do people get a little too minute with, you know, their interpretation of a chart? I mean, if they're really going over everything and that they can't do something because this planet's in this position or whatever, does that get to be a bit much sometimes or not?
We all have a right to have our beliefs, our style, or just simply, this is what I know based on my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like to have astrology close any doors or limit me. I don't want to say I can't because I've got this going on right now. I want to look at how can I use that particular challenging aspect, be it going on by transit, or there's another thing, progression, whatever, or something in my natal chart. I don't want to look at something in my natal chart and go, well, I'll never be able to do that because,
right,
you know, I've got, you know, I'm doomed. No. And so, again, some people, they feel that they want to be aware that that's going on, but I guess I don't fall it. It's just my personal style,
right,
is that I don't want to have the chart use me or restrict me.
Right.
I think I said it already,
right,
that,
right,
the difference between using astrology or letting it use you.
Right. You don't want to pigeonhole somebody necessarily.
No.
You're open to interpretation because, like you said, something may show a person being, you know, very shy, very, you know, quiet, submissive, but maybe in real life they're not like that, but maybe in different aspects of their life they would recognize that as being so.
That's a very interesting way to put it, and yes, sometimes you can. Sometimes people, they fight against type.
Right.
You'll sometimes say this will happen. Of course, we can't do even astrology 101 in our short time together. But if people have a lot of water in their chart, they're said to be very emotional, very feeling. But yet there'll sometimes be people that will have, when I say a lot of water, that element, the signs will be either fire, earth, air, or water. And a planet, somebody may have it where many of their planets are in water signs. And like Pisces, I'm sure you've heard, have you heard of this?
The water, the
right,
air,
there's,
earth.
Right.
Right.
The water signs are Pisces, there's Cancer, there's Scorpio. And there'll be three, you know, planets in a particular element, and so if a person doesn't, it doesn't mean that they're not emotional. Actually, I've found quite often it'll be just the opposite,
mm-hmm,
that they'll be extremely emotional, or they'll find some way to use their emotions. It will be, again, different, and it's always, that's why I like this, that there's no definitives, there isn't a, well, that person's going to be, if they have this going on, they're that way, case closed.
Right.
It's, again, this is choices and options,
right,
and there may be something, that's why if I'm looking at a chart and I'm seeing something and I'm not quite sure, I'll ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, oftentimes I will see this, has that been your experience? And the person will tell me. And it's very important to me not to scare people. And so I don't like to look at a chart or at a person's forecast. That's, again, one term we use for predicting. And when I say I like it because it's like, gee, the sky looks cloudy over there. Maybe it might rain. Perhaps,
right,
I should bring an umbrella. And so that's why I don't, I like to ask the person how has it been for them, because then I learn something,
right,
about them and how astrology works for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, there's just,
it's just what? I mean, it's something where, what I thought was interesting is you just make certain analogies. I know, looking,
mm-hmm,
at your website, you made the analogy between weather forecasting,
right,
and,
right,
astrologies,
and that, yeah, and I'm not the first to do that.
Guess, in essence, but I mean, You can only present what you are aware of, and whatever happens, happens, correct?
You make educated guesses
right.
on how the person is. I guess that's one way to put it. And bottom line, it's either the shoe fits or it doesn't, and it's my job to help the client find out, does this work for you? So, hence, that's why, it's like this is such a big topic, and I'm realizing that, you know, I'm feeling the Saturnian restriction
right.
here.
Well, we're just getting, you know, at the surface of this. I mean,
right.
you know, it's
that's all we
don't have enough time to really go mm-hmm. deeper, and that's why you're going to have to come back sometime and really go into more of this. Now,
I'd be delighted to do that.
Looking at my chart now, it's divided into different sections.
Right.
Now, does each section represent mm-hmm. something different?
There's 12 houses, and it's all different parts of your life. That's starts with yourself,
mm-hmm.
starts with your stuff, starts with the way you communicate, starts with your home, either the one you grew up with. And I'm going through the houses 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? There's
mm-hmm.
the 12 houses, so I'm going to the fourth house is, again, that home you create for yourself or that you grew up with. The fifth house is about creativity and children.
Okay.
And romance. And
those two
pleasurable
go
events.
Okay.
Well, children are the creations of our body,
right.
and creativity, the children of our minds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The sixth house is health and work. Not necessarily, it's kind of, I want to say, what you do to make money.
Right.
It's very pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
This is the house of relationship, partnership, I should say, either marital or business. And remember,
right.
at one time, marriages were, it was a business proposition.
Right.
The eighth house is the house of sex, death, and taxes. But
wow,
we
that's
all
a
says, I know,
combination.
It's a many different things. It's
right.
a house of other people's resources. It's
mm-hmm.
like, look, once you're here, once you get married to somebody, the next step is a frank discussion of your finances, and you open up a joint bank account.
Right,
so
yes.
it's really a house of intimacy
mm-hmm.
In many ways. Then we go up to the ninth house, which is the house of journeys, experience, higher at mind activities, philosophy, religion, law. We go to the 10th house, which is the profession and career honors. It's the what you are destined, or in many ways, what you are known for, your reputation in the world. Then it comes to the 11th house, which can be the house of hopes, wishes, long-term goals, friends, business associates.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the 12th house, which is everything. It's sort of they call it the house of self-undoing, but it deals with dreams, secrets. It's sort of what's behind the scenes. And there are books, honest to goodness, several books written on the 12th house because
mm-hmm.
it is so intriguing. And so we can say a lot about a person based on if we see a lot of planets in a particular house, we can certainly find out, well, is this a focus of your interest? And you know, as you see, you've got...
I see the three of the houses are empty.
Well, no, that's...
Is that good
and
or bad,
going to be.
Or it just
well,
doesn't
yeah,
matter?
No, it's going to have to happen. 12 mm-hmm. houses, 10
right.
planets.
Yes.
And there are ways to actually look at a so-called empty house
mm-hmm.
and find out what affects that house. Some people have said, I've heard it said, that, well, that just means that that house won't necessarily be a big issue for you in this incarnation, if that's one thing you believe. But no matter what you do, as the planets keep moving, they're going to move through those so-called empty houses. And so you are going to learn some lessons of that.
Right. Okay.
So,
just real briefly, how
sure.
can people get in touch with you if they want to do so?
They can phone 734-434-4555 or my name, Bonrose Fine, at comcast.net. And I've even Googled myself.
Okay.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't Googled myself. I don't get into that.
No. Okay. Well, I did. And Well, you have a very, you know, you have kind of more of a regular name. I'm the only person that has put Bonrose Fine together.
Right.
So,
yes.
Fortunately.
Right.
And
it's unique.
So, at any rate, they can contact me either by email, by telephone, or Google, and I'm sure my number will pop up in some way.
Great.
So
great. Yeah, right. I'm sure it'll come up somehow. But
right.
This has
yeah.
really been interesting, and yeah. we have just scratched the surface. I mean, I'm looking
I
at
know.
These charts, and
I know
we haven't
I
really
know.
Gotten into it. And I know you have more information to share with
so
us,
much,
and we haven't even got to it. So
that's okay.